This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. Janie Becker is with us this morning from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. Janie, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you doing, Bart?
I'm doing great. Well, now, over this past week, I know your phones were busy over at the Ag Center. What kind of questions did people seem to ask?
Well, in the last week, a lot of questions about the farmer's market, actually. There's a lot of vendors that are already expecting to come in and are doing their planning in the garden, and questions about starting seeds indoors for transplants. And a lot people are thinking warm and the spring weather.
The past 2 or 3 days of cold weather, I guess, makes you think warm.
Right, right. I think their seed catalogs are coming in, and they want to think of warmer and sunnier times. So.
Yeah, I'm ready for that too.
Right.
Yeah, it has not been a cold winter by any stretch of the imagination, but it still has been winter, and that sort of gray skies, not a whole lot of sunshine. Mm-hmm. We have had warm temperatures, but the sunshine, that just makes you feel good.
Oh, it does. You know, 2 days of cloudiness, and you feel like you've never seen the sun.
So, when is the farmer's market opening?
The farmer's market opens in May, so it'll be here before you know it.
It really will be. So, the farmers are already thinking about the farmer's market.
That's right. They're planning and even planting and getting transplants ready to go in the ground.
So they have cabin fever, too.
They absolutely do, maybe more than most of us.
So come May, we'll be back at the Ag Center and taking advantage of this. Now, will there be some new special hours? Well, I know at Christmas, the Sunday program seemed to really go over real well.
We actually have changed our hours for the regular season starting this year. It's a change long in the making. We haven't changed the hours properly since the market opened in the 70s. We used to be Tuesdays and Fridays 6 a.m. to 11 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are Tuesdays and Fridays 7 a.m. to noon.
7 a.m. to noon, okay.
Right, so you can sleep in just a little bit and not worry about the competition, and then you can also come on your lunch break. So we're hoping that will make the hours a little more flexible for folks.
Well, I bet you people will really appreciate that. And if any of you have any comments, any thoughts you'd like to share, just call us right now, 893-1450. So new hours for the farmer's market starting this year, 7 a.m. to noon, 7 a.m. to noon, Tuesday and Friday. And again, when does that start?
May 11th.
May 11th, okay. Mm-hmm. What is that, the second?
Second Friday in May.
Okay, second Friday always. And it ends?
It runs through October with that schedule.
Okay, through the last Friday?
I think it's actually the last Tuesday this year. We just run it to the end of the month.
Oh, okay.
And it falls on a Tuesday. Often it's on a Friday. But
okay, so I wanted to be sure we had all of the information correct if people call to ask
sure.
us. So, how do you get involved in the farmer's market? Do you have to have a big farm, or could you have a good-sized garden, or?
We like to be open to just about any size operation. Of course, our season vendors that you're going to see day in, day out, those are folks that make their living off their farm. And they're the ones who are in their greenhouses now making sure they've got hundreds of cabbage plants and hundreds of different sorts of seedlings started. But we also like to be open to the casual grower that, you know, they might have some extra corn, or they can't use any more zucchini, or their neighbors won't take any more. They can bring it into the market and sell it. We have every summer we have a family, that's a couple different families, that will come in and their kids want to pick wild blackberries, and we like to be available for those people too, who may not be professional farmers, but just to give them a taste of what it's like. Mm-hmm. Some commerce and local agriculture. So,
and that gives the kids an opportunity to see what it's like if you work you get rewarded.
That's right. That's
so
right.
So learn something there. Now, at the beginning of last year's farmers market, there were some farmers who offered a deal where you would purchase so many, you give them a flat amount of money or something per month, and then they would bring you produce or in some cases
right.
meat.
That's called a CSA. It's
okay.
It stands for Community Supported Agriculture. There are a few farmers at our market that offer CSAs, and they offer them for different periods of time. Some are 10 weeks, 12 weeks, 16 weeks throughout the growing season, and it's a, depending on what your share is, a weekly or every 2 weeks amount of the goods they have from the farm. So it's you're getting the freshest, what's in season that very moment, and you don't have to necessarily go select it yourself. It's a good option for people who want to try things that are new, who don't want to spend as much time perusing the market, and it's good for farmers to give them a little boost this time of year to have that planning and know ahead what their market is going to be like, what their customer base is going to be like.
And of course, you need to do that early in the season. Can you hook up with those people before the farmers market?
Absolutely, you need to, because they need to know that information now while they're planning how much they want to plant. So a best way to find a CSA close to you is localharvest.org. They have a search they can search the availability or search the locations of CSAs in your area.
Mm-hmm.
And localharvest.org has a special section on CSAs.
One thing too I noticed on the Sunday farmers market that was back during last December was some of the vendors, some of the farmers had beef and things of that sort, farm fresh eggs, but the beef was like grass fed, no hormones or anything of that sort put into it. Would you have more of that?
We will have this year, I believe we'll have both a grass fed natural beef vendor as well as a conventional grain mix with grass fed beef.
Now, I guess I've never thought about the differences in the two. The thing that stands out in my mind is the lack of hormones being put in to make the beef grow more quickly and what have you. So if you don't put the hormones in and you have a choice of grain-fed or grass-fed, what's the difference?
Well, I may not be the specialist to talk about this. Rebecca Norman might be definitely more qualified. But just a basic understanding of it is it's what you feed them. With grain, it's going to be a higher calorie, it's going to be a higher calorie diet than if they're eating grass. If you're managing your pastures for to grass feed your cattle, you're going to have a lot more grass, a lot more pasture management than if you're supplementing with a grain, corn or some sort of feed ration. So that's about as far as I can get into it. I'm a horticulturalist. But
maybe there's a beef person listening in who could call and just sort of give us the lowdown on that. 893-1450, 893-1450. Like to hear from you. And about the bees, do you have a feel for the bees as of this early date? I know there have been times when bees have been scarce, and I understand they're coming back.
Well, I haven't talked to any of my honey producers lately, but I do expect this to be a better year than last, based on weather alone. There are lots of other factors at play, disease and insects and the colony collapse disorder that is kind of a mysterious cause. But last year we had several honey folks that lost a lot of their hives due to the many days of below freezing temperatures.
Ah, well, and we certainly have not had that this year.
No, we have not. So I'm hoping that they will their hives will be intact and thriving. The honey bees are actually kind of funny. They can be just inches away from their food source when it's really cold. But the way that they cluster up to stay warm and to keep everybody cozy, they aren't likely to move at all once they get into that really tight cluster. So there can be honey for them to eat in really cold weather that's just, you know, just truly inches away or less. And if the group doesn't move, they could starve to death. So
when you say hunker down, they do.
They're serious about it. So they have to get a little bit of warmth in there to start to migrate toward those honey reserves. And they're fascinating creatures.
But. So it looks like we're going to have a pretty good bee, pretty good honey
I'm season. Not making promises, but based on the weather alone.
We won't hold you to it. But that's always a good thing, because there are a lot of people who say if you use local honey, you will have less problems with allergies, and which makes sense. Mm-hmm. You're putting that pollen into your body, and it's local pollen that you would be sneezing with and coughing with and getting red eyes with. So you're putting a little of that in you and getting that getting your system
You're tempering your immune system in a way. Yeah,
it, and it makes sense. So everybody's all excited about local honey. And
they
I'm not sure.
Oh, absolutely.
What is local honey? 50 miles, within 50 miles, or 30 miles, or what would be considered
local? I would say 50 miles is a good range. Some people want it extremely locally, within 5 or 10 miles. Most of our plant genetics is the reason for that is because the plants that grow in an area in Nashville might have slightly different genetics than they do, say, in Manchester. So. But as you get closer and closer, the likelihood of them being very, very closely kin is higher and higher. So I'd say 50 miles is a good stretch.
Makes sense. Well, now, in the world of gardens, because people, as you mentioned, are already calling in large numbers asking about, well, when can I put this out or that out? Mm-hmm. Are there some really unique plants coming forth this year? And, 1 year we had square tomatoes, and 1 year we had tomato trees. And somebody was having fun, I think.
well, there's always there's more and more interest in heirloom varieties, and there's many seed conservationists out there, and especially in the seed selling world, they're trying to go around the world and collect as many varieties of different types of vegetables as possible, which is one of the beauties of shopping locally and growing your own food and getting produce from the farmer's market. You're not going to have as much selection in varieties if you go to the grocery store. I don't know that there's any really, really hot, unique trend right now in growing produce, but starting seeds will allow you, if you want to grow your own vegetables, starting your own seeds gives you the most opportunity for a wide variety of types of any individual vegetable. So cauliflower, at the store, you're going to see one type of cauliflower. At the farmer's market, you're probably going to see maybe 2 or 3 different types. If you go to the co-op or Lowe's or Home Depot and buy your own transplants, so the small plants to grow in your own, you might see 4 or 5 different types. If you grow your own, if you are shopping for seeds, you can find an infinitely greater selection of different varieties. Same with onions or tomatoes or anything like that. Seeds is the way to get the most.
And the heirlooms are coming back strong.
They are. They have their pros and cons, but they often do have a greater taste.
Maybe you have had some good luck with heirloom tomatoes. If so, which ones? We're going to pause, check on the traffic and weather. We'll be back, and we'll open up the phone lines. Janie Becker is with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. 893-1450 is the number. And we're looking for somebody who can help us. What is the difference in beef that is raised on grain or beef that is raised on grass? I know you have an opinion on that one. We'll be right back.
Do you remember the day when my journey began? Will you remember the end of time? Beautiful dawn.
In here and have a seat, please.
When you hear something you like, let us know.
Shut the door.
Tell Good Neighbor Talk when it's something you don't like.
We care deeply about how you feel. WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Get a 2012 Ford Escape at Ford of Murfreesboro today and get up to $2,000 cash back. Or 0% APR for 60 months with $500 cash back. This excludes tax, title, registration, and the $499 dealer fee. The 2012 Ford Escape, up to $2,000 cash back today at Ford of Murfreesboro, on Broad at Northfield, or online at fordofmurfreesboro.com.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton from Bell Jewelers. Looking for a new look? Update your gemstones by letting us remount your jewels into a new style. White gold, yellow gold, vintage, modern. Let Bell Jewelers help you design a special piece with your old gemstones, or let our award-winning jeweler, Bob Lanier, custom make a fabulous piece just for you.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad, across from Toots.
Quality automotive repair and diagnostics with service you can trust. Nationwide guarantee. Call 896-1407. Roberts Discount Auto Repair on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. We care, and we're here to help.
Good morning once again. We've got a good deal of traffic still on I-24 as folks make their way into the downtown Nashville area. Lots of traffic building also on I-24 at the 96 exit, I-24 at the 231 exit there in Murfreesboro. And we're seeing lots of traffic still on Broad at Memorial, Rutherford Boulevard, and Mercury Boulevard in downtown. Get a $49 introductory massage at Massage Envy today. Gift cards available for any occasion. Massage Envy, Cold Springs, Bellevue, Brentwood, and Green Hills. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
We have scattered showers in the forecast early today, cloudy skies and gradually becoming sunny. Our high temperatures today will be warming into the upper 50s. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Feluber. Right now, 54.
Catch the Truman Show with Truman Jones, weekdays at 2 on WGNS AM and FM, talking about the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County.
Something I can't compare, and I've been thinking about you. I don't really care about the weather outside, and I don't want to talk about national pride.
Welcome back. Our number is 893-1450, the segment that you call in. 893-1450. What's your favorite type of tomato? Try to pick out the things to plant in our garden. Give us some direction. 893-1450. And then maybe you could sort of explain to us the difference in cattle, beef that are fed with grass versus grain. Which do you feel is better? What's the difference in them mainly? 893-1450. Janie Becker's with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. And already this morning, you have heard that there have been some changes in the upcoming farmers market. And I think you'll enjoy the changes. The hours have been changed. 7 a.m. until noon. No longer 6 a.m. And it used to shut off at 11, and now it goes on up to lunchtime.
So right, we always had a stream of cars coming right at 11 saying, I just got off for my lunch break, and I wanted to come pick some things up, and we were shutting down. So we thought we'd extend that some and give you more options to come on out.
And you've added something new in addition to the hours for this coming farmers market, which begins May the 11th, by the way, second Friday in May. What is the new addition in addition to that?
Well, we are very excited. We have a partner. We've developed a partnership with MTSU and their agribusiness, agriscience department, and are applied for a grant from the USDA and are going to be able to accept EBT cards, which is the electronic version of food stamps in the SNAP program. And also credit cards and debit cards for the whole market.
So everybody.
Every vendor will, there will be one central location, and, mm-hmm. and there will be a pretty simple method to pay for those things.
So whether you're using credit cards or electronic food stamps, everybody is welcome to eat healthy.
Absolutely.
And support local farmers.
Absolutely.
That is fantastic. That really
we
is.
We have seen a real need for the EBT option in the market. Folks that come in July and August, we offer Rutherford County is fortunate to have a WIC program, Women, Infants, and Children's Farmers Market Voucher Program, where they can use special vouchers just at the farmers market. And a lot of times they use the vouchers and would like to use a bit more, but they really rely on the EBT benefits for some of their basic produce. So we can now provide them that.
And one thing about babies, now that I'm becoming an expert in that again, it had been a while since I'd had babies of my own. They grew up on me. but now they're having babies, so I'm looking at it from a grandfather standpoint. You can take farm fresh vegetables and somehow, I call it puree.
Make your own baby food. Absolutely.
And it's a
popular
really,
trend.
My little granddaughter, who is now 9 months old, just loves beans, and mm-hmm. she loves also squash. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's in a texture that's sort of like mush.
Right, right. Start them early, and it's a much less expensive way to feed your baby, and
probably
and good
better
way to introduce I feel certain it is. There's not going to be any salt or preservatives. Not, I mean, a lot of the baby foods that are canned are pretty basic as well, but you're not having to go to the grocery store and buy all those individual jars. You can buy in bulk and freeze it and make all the sweet potato puree your child can eat. So.
And she loves asparagus, too.
Oh, really?
The neat thing is you start your child on this, and then you're not going to have a child who grows up by the time they're 6 or 7 years old saying, I don't want Brussels sprouts. I don't want cauliflower. I just want hamburgers and french fries.
That's right.
And, of course, you know, that's probably not the greatest diet in the world.
No, you're probably going to run into some health issues if that's the only thing your kid eats. But a lot of those wonderful vegetables can be a little stinky, but I think that they get a bad rap from people who just assume that they don't like them from hearing other people don't. And you start them when they can't talk back, and and they're
sure
likely
they like
to
it
enjoy
all.
It.
Yeah.
Right.
I wonder if, you know, maybe that's what happened to me, because there aren't too many foods I don't like, and that has become a problem once in a while, but hey, I like that. Yeah, bring that on. Yeah.
Growing up, we didn't have the option to not like much of what was, we were just, that's what we got, so.
It's funny, too, how your taste buds change.
Absolutely.
As I got older, I started liking beets, and when I was a kid, I didn't care for, that was one of the few things I did not go wild for, but now I see beets on a salad bar or something. Hey, give me some beets. I like those.
And a lot of times when people understand a little bit about the nutritional aspects of their food, they can appreciate something that they once just saw it as a beet, and then they find out how good it is for them. They start eating it a few times and find other ways to repair it that maybe they've never done before, and they find ways that are just right for them. So give things multiple chances. You never know what will work for you.
I'm still working on tomato aspic.
I haven't
closed the door on it, but I'm still working on that. 893-1450 is our phone number. If you have a question or a comment this morning, give us a call. Maybe you're excited about the new hours for Farmers Market starting in May. And, you know, 7 a.m. till noon, that makes it a whole lot easier. Same day, Tuesday and Friday, 7 a.m. until noon instead of the 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. slot. So if they're there until noon, somebody may be a little late packing up, and you could have a little extra time. So circle those dates on your calendar. And if you're getting ready to put out a garden right now, as Janie said, the biggest number of her calls were dealing with gardens, putting out things of that sort. This is probably a good time to get your soil tested so you'll know what kind of situations you're facing this season.
It is. I would, you know, a rainy day like today may not be the best day to get take your soil sample, but give it a day or two, and we do take samples for all sorts of situations, and lawns and gardens, pastures, berry crops, pretty well any type of crop you're planning on growing. We can give you recommendations for how to amend your soil if needed.
So if you're living here in the city and you have an acre, a half acre, a quarter of an acre, you need to take a separate measurement, do you, for a garden versus the yard, or is it all pretty much
well,
the same?
Well, if you have reason to believe that all of that soil has been treated pretty much the same in the past, you can take one sample and get three different recommendations for the $7 fee. That's what the soil test cost. So if a spot has been treated as a garden for several years, it's likely that soil's already been amended, and you've added compost, you've added fertilizer, you've built that soil up, and it's going to need a different sample than what your lawn has been treated as. It's going to have different histories. Mm-hmm. So
now, when you say get three different recommendations, you're talking about this is all the same soil, but part of it I'm going to use as a garden, part of it's going to be a a yard, and part of it's going to be where I want to grow cane or, you know,
right,
whatever.
exactly. you move to a spot, and it's all been pasture, it's all been lawn, it's all been what have you. You can treat that all as the same sample and get different recommendations off of it.
Okay. And while we're sort of, this is probably still an okay time to do landscaping, trees and shrubs and what have you.
Absolutely.
What about, I mentioned cane. I've seen some people really creatively using some of that in backyards, especially in the city where you don't have real big backyards. To give privacy.
It can make excellent screen. Our native cane is the river cane that you'll find along the Stones River and lots of creeks around. It doesn't get quite as big as Asian bamboos. A lot of times when you see it used in an ornamental sense, they are different varieties of Asian bamboo. Those can get very large. That's the type of bamboo that even floor is made out of. There's just dozens and dozens of types, though, so you can find one that fits your need and may not be as aggressive and may keep you in better relations with your neighbor, too. So some of them will run a bit. So
no, some of it's not as aggressive, then.
Some of the varieties are not as aggressive.
What will stop the ones that are not quite as aggressive? Would a fence stop them?
Well, it needs to be something below ground, because they move by underground rhizomes. Okay. So there actually are some very heavy plastic barriers and landscape cloths that serious bamboo growers employ whenever they put a new planting out to keep them from blending in and taking over buildings, small animals.
So if you put some of these barriers underground to keep them from going into your neighbor's yard, and you're, say, 30, 40 feet from your house, would they eventually, unchecked, cover your whole backyard with, you know,
if the growing conditions are right, if the light and soil are right, they could. But if you are going to use a barrier, you would use it on all boundaries of where you want that planting to be. So you wouldn't just use it on your neighbor's side. You'd probably want to use it on yours too, so you can keep your lawn. And of course, with regular cutting and maintenance, you can keep it from moving as much. But
it's not like kudzu then.
No, it is not like kudzu. There are some that are especially vigorous, but it's not truly going to eat your property.
Now, what is the kind that is not as vigorous, that wouldn't be as aggressive?
So I would have to check on different cultivars to let you know. And species, too. There's a lot of different species of bamboo and canes. The native one is called river cane. Mm-hmm. It's just a native
How tall does that get?
It can get... river cane can get 12, 14 feet.
So pretty tall. As private as you'd want to be.
It can, yes. And it's large enough. I mean, that's what a lot of traditional Native American music instruments were made of. It can get to be good sized over time. A lot of people use it for bean stakes and all sorts of garden trellises and that sort of thing. I have some trellises growing on river cane.
So if you put out this river cane in your yard, say now, is now a good time, first of all,
to put river cane out? If you were going to transplant it from a location that is suitable to transplant from, you could move some.
Okay, and how quickly would you have privacy with river cane? Because it's not as aggressive, and I'm guessing it's not as quickly as your.
It would really depend on how densely you planted it. I would have to think on that a little bit more. Okay. I would think it'd be a few years before you'd expect it to really take a dense cover.
Do you buy it at stores, or do you go out and dig it up along the riverbank?
I've never seen it offered at a conventional store. There are some native plant sellers that you can get river cane from.
I've never seen it on the riverbank.
You've never seen it on the riverbank.
I've been on the wrong river.
I have seen it a good bit on the Stones River.
Okay.
And there's quite a bit around the Percy Priest Lake, although note that natural areas you're not allowed
to
dig up plants. But if you know someone along the that lives along a river piece and has some cane, you could transplant it with their permission.
Okay. So you just dig up and be sure you get all the roots?
You want to dig a fairly deep section. It's got a really fibrous root structure, so it does transplant fairly well. Mm-hmm. Of course, you wouldn't want to put it in the driest spot in your yard. It is a water-loving plant. But
So if you don't live on a creek or something, your whole yard's going to be a dry spot.
Well,
I would think so.
Well, there are natural wet areas even away from water conveyances. Yeah. But if you were wanting a screen, I mean, it's not going to be for everybody. I would want to talk to somebody specifically and get their needs figured out before I recommended it.
What about these tall grasses? I mean, they're almost like small canes, but they're, what would you call those? What are those called?
There's several different types. There's a giant pampas you see a good bit. Mm-hmm. There's some miscanthus varieties that get pretty tall. There's also some switchgrass varieties that can get 5 or 6 feet that for many purposes will form a good screen for you, can be a small fence.
Do you leave those up all year long, or do you cut them back? Or?
Well, most of those grasses will die back in the fall. And,
on their own. So.
On their own. But then they're nice, they're attractive during the rest of the winter, just as tall grasses. And mm-hmm. I'd wait to cut them back until late in the winter, maybe early March, when new growth starts to come on.
Now, Mitchell has talked about xeroscaping before. Mm-hmm. That's an all-new way of doing things, which is nothing.
Well, no, there's work involved in
so
it. But
if you xeroscaped the tall grasses, what would happen? There would be nothing after a season or two?
Well, see, saying like dry landscaping, is that is that what he's talking about?
I think he's talking about somebody putting out something and doing nothing.
Oh, xeroscaping, truly
xeroscaping.
Well, I mean, grasses, they're going to maintain themselves fairly well, actually. They're just, it's going to be a rattier appearance if you don't cut it back to the ground, because you're going to have all of that dead growth from last year.
Some people call that natural, not rattier.
Some people do, but it just depends on how manicured you want your yard to be.
Okay, so do you want ratty or do you want natural? 893-1450 is our phone number. We're going to check on the weather, and we'll continue the conversation. Janie Becker is with us this morning from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. The thing to take away this morning, now's the time to have the soil tested in your yard. Now's the time to be selecting the seeds to create in your garden. Boy, what a great time for that. And new hours for the farmer's market that opens May the 11th, 7 a.m. until noon. How about that?
Locally owned, locally operated, and responding to your local opinions. Good Neighbor Talk, WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. Come see us for all those wonderful gift ideas, from our gift department to clothing. We have a hunting section.
We've really upped our selection of ammo and got really good prices on them.
That's the Rutherford Farmers Co-op Farm and Home Center. And also for your furry friends in our pet and bird section. So come visit us at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. We're located just off of South Church at 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard. That's the Rutherford Farmers Co-op Farm and Home Center.
WeatherEye.
We have scattered showers in the forecast early today, cloudy skies and gradually becoming sunny. Our high temperatures today will be warming into the upper 50s. From WGNS, staff meteorologist Mandy Fellhuber. Right now, 54.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We offer checking that comes with a free check card, free mobile and internet banking, as well as free bill payer service. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Now all of Rutherford County can hear us better than ever. To better serve you, we've increased power on FM 100.5. This is WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, and AM 1450.
Welcome back. Our number is 893-1450. 893-1450. We're talking about lawns and gardens this morning. And J.D. Becker is with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. Some interesting programs coming up as we begin the season where people start putting out gardens and making their yards look better. What are some of the programs that will be available to the public?
Well, we have a brown bag lunch program that is every month, the last Thursday of the month. It's one you can come and bring your bagged lunch, your bought lunch, however you would like to, or you can eat before or after. But we have it during the lunch hour, so working folks can come and get a little horticultural lesson. And that is the last Thursday of every month. I believe it starts at noon. I apologize, I can't remember exactly.
I think it's 11:30.
11:30 mm-hmm. to 12:30. I guess that is right. And for the calendar, you can check at utextension.tennessee. That's spelled out tennessee.edu/Rutherford, and you can look at our calendar of events. We also have a basic a vegetable gardening class that's coming up. And again, that's on the calendar there. I don't have the exact date on that, but that's coming up for people who want to learn a little bit more about gardening.
Very good. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie Becker.
How you doing?
Doing great. How are
good.
You?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. Couldn't do no better. If I did, I believe I'd float away.
That's good.
Let me understand what y'all said. I might have misunderstood you. Did you say Farmer's Market was going to be open from what? From 9 to 1, is that right?
From 7 a.m. to noon.
To noon.
Uh-huh.
Is that in daytime? I mean,
it's 7 in the morning till 12 noon on Tuesdays and Fridays starting in May.
Starting in May.
Uh-huh. Middle of May.
Okay.
Maybe.
I didn't know what I understood you right now. I thought about a call and see.
If anybody comes out to the community center looking for the market, when we open, we put a banner right out front, and you can't miss it. So,
okay.
And that has the times on it.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
You're
y'all
welcome.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie Becker. How are you today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, enjoying the show. I put out a couple of little decorative weeping, whether cherry trees, I think, and I put an amended powder under one, and I did in the other one, and now I can't remember what I put in them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just wondering, one tree's doing great, and the other one seems like it's a year older, and it probably hadn't done anything. I just wondered if it was something I could put under there now, maybe to help spur on the growth of.
But you don't remember if it's the one that you added something to or not that is doing well?
Oh, no, the one that's doing well is I added a little plastic bag of powder, and I don't know whether it came with the tree or what, but we had to, after we put one in, we decided to balance the yard out, so I went and got another one, and they may have not came from the same orchard, you know. That would be
my first guess, is that it didn't come from the same source, or that you planted it in a little bit of a different time period. You know, that plants like to be planted when it's the nicest conditions possible. So, did you plant the second one in the middle of the summer or early summer?
Well, it probably wasn't, you know, like 2 or 3 weeks different, because after we saw the one side, we decided, you know, and the other, it's on each side of our yard. And we wanted to balance it out, and I just wondering if I could get something now to amend the soil on the other one.
Well, you can purchase some fertilizers, especially for trees. There are some things called tree stakes, and it's a stake shaped it's a stake that's made of fertilizer. And follow directions on that as far as how large your tree is, and you can actually hammer those into the ground around the drip line, which is where water falls from the edges on a weeping cherry, not that far away from the tree, and put those into the ground. I don't know if they're mulched or not, but I'd recommend mulching them before the summer comes up as well.
Okay, all right, I appreciate it. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Have you had your soil tested, by the way?
No, I'm guilty of not having it tested.
You might want to do that, too. I think that could save you some big bucks. Take it from somebody who's been there and done that.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye. Yeah, I kept – somebody would say, well, you need to add this to your soil, or you need to add that to your soil. That's what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And I kept doing it and spending money adding this, that, just on recommendations, never checking to see what the soil really needed. And it wasn't what they were recommending, just off their collar.
Right.
So for, what was it, $6, $7, something like that? How much is a soil test? The
soil test is $7,
okay.
Right? It's a very
money
low
well
investment.
Spent.
Right. The one, just an interesting anecdote from people who deal with soil tests all the time, lime is the biggest soil amendment bought.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely,
yeah,
in this area.
Add lime.
But what a lot of people don't know is here in the Central Basin where we are, our soils are generally a little bit on the alkaline side, and, mm-hmm. and our right beneath the soil is all limestone, which is heavy in lime. So it's so best to check before you spend the money.
I made it worse. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie Becker. How are you today?
Good morning. This is Marty. Martin, how are you doing today?
Hi, Marty.
Good.
Your previous caller pretty much addressed an issue I have. But my other question is, what size tree has the best chance of living? I have planted so many trees that died. And I have planted trees in the same spot trees died in, and some have took root and took off. But I'm just curious if there's a certain height that has a better chance of survival.
That's a good question.
It is a good question. It's going to depend on the type of tree, but what's more important even than size is first the condition of the stock that you're buying. You want to make sure that it looks healthy. It's free of, you know, a lot of times the trunks have got a little bit of wounding or scratching on them from being transported. There's nothing wrong at all with taking if it's in a pot, to take it out of the pot and look at its root structure and make sure there's lots of white healthy roots. If it's a bald and burlapped, you don't have as many options for looking underground, but you want to make sure that it looks free of wounds and has good structure above ground. Generally, the smaller the tree is, the better it's going to transplant. So if you've got patience, you're more likely to get a tree better established when it's young. But larger trees have more shock when they're put into the ground and change their environment. So generally, smaller is better.
I've heard Mitchell say that many times, that smaller is better. Probably with the 3-4 foot tall trees as opposed to a 6 or 8
right.
foot tree. So, Marty, hope that helps you.
It did, but can I ask one more quick question? I know y'all are about over. Okay. What I'm looking at is a shade from the side of my house, and I've got some Bradford pears that mm-hmm. have just taken off. I mean, they are just growing like crazy, but there's just one section that's about 20 feet long beside the driveway, and that's where I'm having the most trouble, and that's the reason I was asking a question. Is there a faster growing tree than the Bradford pear that can give me some shade?
Well, there are some faster growing trees, but the trouble with fast growing trees is they're often not going to be they're going to be short-lived. A lot of times the faster something grows does not mean it's a strong tree. It means that it's got a weaker structure. So if you're having trouble right along your driveway, is it immediately adjacent to your driveway?
I haven't done anything to the driveway except grow weeds in it in a long time. Yeah, and I don't put any poisons on it or anything like that. You know, it's asphalt, and they do come up to it. But I try to pull them instead of putting poison on the driveway or you know, letting it get into the ground.
Well, I was mainly wondering if it might be real compacted, if the soil beside your driveway might be especially compacted and tight, and a lot of trees don't do so well when the soil isn't aerated and porous and gives the roots something to grow on.
Well, I've got 8 Bradford pears along the driveway, and they all took root and took off. But about 6 other trees that I've planted that are not Bradford pears have all died fast.
Well, I might recommend a soil test again for you.
I can do that. But I'll let you go. I know you got some other people, and I wanted to tell you how much I enjoyed your show this morning. Thanks.
Thanks for
calling.
Thank you. You have a great day. And I'm trying to find some information, Marty, for you and for some other folks, and I haven't put my finger on it yet, but I put something on our website yesterday. The Soil Conservation Group here in town is giving away seedlings to homeowners, a maximum of 5 per homeowner. And I hope I will find that information before the show ends today. We will be back. And I'll be looking for that. Stay with us. Family Staffing Solutions.
Without the caregivers, there would be no way I could have survived this alone. I had gotten to the point where nothing made any difference.
Stay independent at home.
Being old is not a punishment. It's a very significant phase of life.
Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions.
Check out all the options you have before you make a decision.
Family Staffing Solutions. Thinking about your parents. We can be there when you're not. 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
Over the years, I've encouraged you to save at Bell Furniture. Many of you have called me and said, you're right. They do have first quality name brand furniture at about half the price you pay at other stores. They have the comfortable catnapper recliner. This has both the heat and massage unit. Regular $899, but just $599 at Bell Furniture. Save with Perry Bell and Linda Ferris at Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
If that rabbit I can't see, he better take the ring from me.
And I have that information that we were looking for about the trees that are being given away. Good news for you homeowners. The Rutherford County Soil Conservation District has purchased 500 bare-rooted seedlings. They will be given away next Wednesday. Next Wednesday, just a few days away, starting at 9 o'clock in the morning over at the Lane Agri-Park, 315 John R. Rice Boulevard. Starting at 9 o'clock, it's on a first-come basis. The species will be red bud, silky dogwood, yellow poplar, American plum, and southern crabapple. There's a limit of 5 per landowner, and once they're gone, they're gone. And J.D., you said that's the office right next to yours.
It is. It's the USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service is where that the soil district has a office.
Okay.
That's a service they offer every year this time of year, and it's an excellent resource for people trying to add to their landscape.
That's next Wednesday, starting at 9 o'clock. Do people camp out over there overnight?
We don't have them really busting down the doors, but it is a good source. Those trees are going to be quite small, but it's an excellent size to plant. And sometimes if you're worried about being so small, you might mow over them. You might even put them in a pot put them in the pot over the summer if you can keep them watered. Or use a survey flag and mark them in your yard.
Janie Becker with us this morning.